things before I share it with you about from the Word. The best picture when you leave is walk down there in that edge where the little wall is. Mm-hmm. That's the best picture. To the right is that famous Eastern Gate, and in front of it is a Muslim cemetery. That was originally put there, if you know your Muslim history, to stop the Messiah from returning for the Jews, because he wouldn't defile himself walking on a Gentile graveyard. It's very interesting, but anyway. If they get done with the Mass, we might try to crowd in there and sing, because this, as you can see by its height, it's absolutely spectacular. Go ahead, sit down there. Yes, and don't talk loud. Just let me talk loud. Okay? You are at what is called the Place of Tears. They even tried to make the architecture a little bit like it. The Place of Tears commemorates leaving where we were. Remember, the Bible is very specific about the descent down the Mount of Olives, about even the stones would cry out, and then this spot. We know that he could look and behold the city, the entire wall. And if you stand somewhere down there, you can see from one end to the other. That's the entire city of that day. And here's the passage. It's in Luke 19, 41 to 44. When he was come, near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. Folks, near he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. We know in Isaiah 53, a passage that Jews do not read in their synagogue, because they believe the servant of that passage is Israel, not the Messiah. Therefore, they are commemorating the Holocaust by being quiet, remembering those who died. However, it cannot possibly refer to the Jewish people, because the pronouns are all singular, not plural. It is one Jewish man upon whom all the sin of all the world was placed. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Having read over and over again his life with the disciples, I cannot help but believe he often smiled. They said a lot of funny, stupid things. But there was no laughter here. He knew what was going to happen. After all, he was God, the Bible says. He knew what was in man. He didn't have to have anybody tell him. He knew what they were going to do to him. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So his very tears were a fulfillment of Bible prophecy again. In Hebrews 5, 7 and 9, it says he offered up strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him from death. I just heard recently on the radio a man trying to preach that He obviously did not read his Greek text. He read the English only and thought that Jesus was asking his father to keep him away from the cross. No, he wasn't. He came to die. No, the Greek isn't from, it is out of. It's a word referring to resurrection. Because the Bible says he was answered in that he feared God. He was willing to be obedient to the Lord. That prayer was answered. He was resurrected. It certainly wasn't answered if you mean, keep me from the cross. The tears are very interesting. I want to tell you just four simple things. One, he started by saying what was breaking his heart was the peace that they really wanted. And he wanted them to have. It was hid from their eyes. I can't help, every time I'm here, think about how that's true today. The obsession for peace in Israel makes them do the most stupid things. Do you know that the nation is still suffering from the prisoner exchange? As Israel gave up hundreds of terrorists to get two dead bodies. Something's wrong here. And Jesus said, you want peace, but it's hid from your eyes. You know it could be hid from our eyes? Yeshua said, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We need the peace of our Lord. He's the one who gives real peace. After all, he's the Prince of Peace. The second thing is the persecution that they were going to face. They must have been shocked to hear him say this. But he had taught this earlier. He said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. You've heard the old adage, the only way to avoid persecution is to say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. But he said, you're going to face persecution. And that indeed they did, in a terrible way. Third, he also predicted in this short little time the plunder of the city of Jerusalem and the temple itself. And not one stone would be left upon another. So apparently he said it several times. And the problem that they had, you did not know the time of your visitation. I want you to think about that. Because actually that refers to our time as well. We don't know the day nor the hour. We don't know the time. Jesus said there was somebody else who didn't know the time, the flood victims. Wasn't Noah and his family, they knew the exact day. Who didn't know? The flood victims. Most estimations by scholars who work on that have the world at several billion people before the flood. Could have easily been. Why? Because every person had four children, two sons, two daughters, and more. Multiply it out yourself. Because we know the exact number of years from Adam until the flood, 1,656. So the world could have been as high as 15 billion people. And they didn't know. And they lost their lives in the flood. Now, am I misapplying something here? No, I don't think so. I'll tell you why. Because he connected the flood to the tribulation. And he connected the flood to the devastation of Rome in 70 AD. So you understand, the Lord is telling them, your problem is you haven't studied what the Bible says. You don't know the time of your visitation. And that's exactly what we have today. We have churches telling us not to study prophecy. That is amazing to me. We need to know when these things are going to take place. You say, well, the Lord said you don't know the day nor the hour. Could you know the month or the year? That's a Gentile talking. Jews all know it's an idiom for you don't know anything. Wouldn't it be something if it was today?
Oh, wow.
Like right here. Maybe some of you want to turn and say, is he kidding or what? Well, we're getting close.
Amen.
And I hope that he wouldn't say to us, your problem is you don't remember that the time is coming. You're forgetting it. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and doing their regular stuff. They didn't have any time to think about what the Lord had said. We need to take time and to remember it. Well, it's a beautiful place of tears. And there's a beautiful song that I'd like Beth just to sing quietly for us. It says, wounded for me, wounded for me. There at the cross, he was wounded for me. Beth, would you sing it, please? Maybe you should stand and sing that way towards the wall. Don't want to embarrass you, but I think that'd be wise. So let's just quietly listen to the words of this beautiful song.
Wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. Almost seems incredible being here in the actual place where our Lord was on this mountain. We know what's across the valley here represents a lot of terrible suffering and torture and death. But Lord, help us to understand that his tears were for those he came to redeem. He loved them. You tell us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Greater words were never spoken by anyone. Thank you that there's salvation to all who will believe. Help us to remember the tears and the suffering of our Lord. For you told us in the Bible that Messiah suffered for us. Thank you for the privilege of being here and reflecting on what occurred. In the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, we pray. And all God's children said,
Amen. Amen.